Stu Does America.
Oh, we are blowing up on YouTube. We're basically Mr. Beast. That's right. Go to youtube.com/Stu Does America and join us there. There's tons of stuff going on. Get your friends, get your family to go there. We'll give away $100 million to the 97th person who subscribes today. That's not an actual promise. In fact, it's a lie. But you should act as if it's true. If that's a maybe get you to move a little bit and subscribe to the channel, we'll take it. Access all the content we have on Blaze TV as well, StuDoesAmerica.com. If you go there, use the promo code Stu, you'll check out. You'll save $20 off your annual Blaze TV account. Jason Buttrell is going to join us with an update to the Colony Ridge story, what we've covered on Blaze Originals. We are also going to look at the latest Biden-era nonsense obliterated by Elon Musk and his Doge. But we're going to start by doing a eulogy for Joy Reid's career. Right? It's very sad. Joy Reid, she's toast. I know you're sad about it. Joy Reid's MSNBC show has been canceled in a major shakeup. It's her 7 p.m. show. Cancellation is part of a far-reaching programming overhaul orchestrated by Rebecca Kutler, the network's new president. Two people familiar with the changes said. Final episode of Mrs. Reid's for a 7 p.m. show. The Reid Out. See how clever that is? Reid Out, like it's, she's reading it out to you, but then also her name is Reid. Also, it kind of serves as an announcement for the cancellation, Reid Out. So it works for a bunch of different ways. It's planned for sometime this week. The show, which features in-depth interviews, does it with politicians and other newsmakers, has been a fixture of MSNBC's lineup for the past 5 years. Wow, that's impressive. MSNBC is planning to replace Ms. Reid's program with a show led by a trio of anchors, Simone Sanders Townsend, a political commentator and former Democratic strategist, Michael Steele, a former chairman of the Republican National Committee, and Alicia Menendez, the TV journalist. Now, there's probably a part of you is thinking, like, Joy Reid is completely insane. And the fact that they're moving on for her is maybe a good sign. Maybe they're moving in the right direction. Maybe they've realized that, you know, their approach of calling presidential candidates Hitler and saying that, you know, men should play in women's sports, maybe not the best way to success, and they're changing their ways. But then you see this lineup. Again, if I were to describe Simone, if you're watching or listening on the podcast, Simone Sanders Townsend, I would describe as basically this one of the two craziest people on MSNBC normally, the other one being Joy Reid. So they're putting basically her right back in. Michael Steele, who, you know, at one point was the head of the Republican National Committee, but has not said a good word about a Republican in approximately a decade. Like he's basically employed at one of the, you know, anti-Trump, quote unquote, Republican things. And then I don't know who the third person is, frankly, to be honest with you, Alicia Menendez. I'm sure she's delightful. But the point is, it's not like they're moving towards sensible content here. This is not an ideological change. Now, Joy Reid has had all sorts of massive problems we'll get into here in a second. It could just be one of those things where they're like, look, she's awful. We don't want her on the air anymore because she's really annoying. And they want to move on and just put on a bunch of other crazy progressives. But if you thought that they were moving towards sensibility, I will tell you they are not. The programming shakeup is the first major change made by Ms. Kutler, who was appointed president this month. Ms. Kutler has been drawing up new programming lineup to jumpstart the network's ratings, which have outperformed rival CNN, but lagged behind longtime ratings leader Fox News. How pathetic is that for CNN? They can't even beat that crappy lineup over at MSNBC where they have Rachel Maddow on once a week. I mean, it is just absolutely embarrassing. I will say, too, I don't know anything about Rachel Cutler. She may be very, very nice. And this is all part of this, you know, corporate spinoff with there's a bunch of back behind the scenes news. But can you imagine like being like, you know what? Big shakeup coming. We're going to put on Simone Sanders Townsend and Michael Steele. Like you sat around a table and came up with that. Like that's. Wow. Other major changes are expected at MSNBC. In January, Rachel Maddow, the network's best-known anchor, really the only one left. Does anyone know any of their other anchors at this point? I mean, Joy Reid was never well-known other than just people made fun of her. But, like, I mean, Rachel Maddow has at least been a success moderately, you know, at her job. But, again, she's doing shows every day now until, like, 100 days into the Trump administration. And then she's going back on her one-day-a-week thing. So It's not like she's barely even doing the job anymore. They have nobody over there. I mean, it's a real disaster. She used to returning to host her. Oh, yeah, here it is. 100 days of the Trump administration she will be doing. She's going back to only Mondays coming up soon. At the time, the network said that Alex Wagner, who would host. Again, have you ever heard Alex Wagner's name ever in your life? I don't know. Maybe you have. She hosted the 9 p.m. show for 4 days a week. She'd return at the end of April, but that is no longer the case. MSNBC is planning to appoint a new anchor to fill Ms. Wagner's spot. The two people said a likely candidate for that hour is Jen Psaki, former White House press secretary in the Biden administration, who hosts shows on Saturday at noon and 8 p.m. on Mondays, which is a very weird schedule, the people said, though adding that this decision hasn't been finalized. So Jen Psaki, as if this is an improvement, I don't know. They're just like, you know, we're going to take our hosts off that are really, really progressive. We're going to put on the actual spokesperson for Joe Biden, the one that was telling us he's totally fine, by the way, throughout all of this. So that's your Jen Psaki update. MSNBC is going to lean into its progressive roots in the Trump era, says Axios. MSNBC, several of its sister cable networks are expected to be spun out from Comcast as part of a separate standalone company that will be publicly traded. The split will force MSNBC to build up some of its own reporting and news gathering infrastructure, especially in D.C., where Cutler is expected to announce a new Washington bureau for the network in coming months. Well, that's exciting. That's really thrilling. Now, Joy Reid has had a long and storied career. And you might say to yourself, I've never seen her show once. And you probably haven't. But one thing that was fun about having her there is she was absolutely the most insane person on the network. And it's hard. That's a high bar to clear. Like, the network is filled with crazy people. But she has to be the craziest. Now, Olbermann doesn't work there anymore, to be fair. And he's kind of crazy in his own special way. I don't know that she even clears that bar. But since Olbermann's not there, Joy Reid has kind of been the pinnacle of all of this. And she's had her own set of controversies. One of my favorites was MSNBC's Joy Reid apologizing for insensitive LGBTQIA2+ blog posts. So somebody went online and found her old blog, which she was writing at the time, from 2007 to 2009, and said that Joy Reid authored a dozen homophobic posts, not only attempting to out Charlie Crist, the former governor of Florida, as gay, she attacked and mocked him for being so. She repeatedly referred to him as Miss Charlie and tagged posts about him under gay politicians. And there's a long thread of all of these accusations. Now, it was fascinating because she kind of came out, and she just went on to apologize for it pretty quickly. This note is my apology to all who are disappointed by the content of blogs I wrote a decade ago, for which my choice of words and tone have legitimately been criticized, Reid said in a statement. Among the frequent subjects of my posts was then Governor Charlie Crist, at the time a conservative Republican, whose positions on issues like gay marriage and adoption by same-sex couples in Florida shared headlines with widely rumored posts that he was hiding his sexual orientation. You see, she was just telling you the rumors that somebody was gay. You can't really criticize that, right? It's totally fine. At no time have I intentionally sought to demean or harm the LGBTQIA2+ community, which includes people whom I deeply love. My goal, in a ham-handed way, was to call out potential hypocrisy. Rereading those old blog posts, I am disappointed in myself, and I apologize to all those who are disappointed in me. Life can be humbling. It often is. It actually was today for Joy. Yet again, because your show got canceled. But I hope that you will know where my heart is, and I will always strive to use words for good. Now, I know better, and I will do better. Now, this happened. She apologized for it like that. And unlike every conservative who's ever been in a controversy that was even mildly close to something like that, that was kind of it for months. Then they went back and found more stuff in her blog, including calling Ann Coulter, making trans jokes, she was really a man. That sort of hilarity was on her blog like crazy. And then she came out again and said, I was hacked. You don't understand, I was hacked. Someone went on there and hacked my page, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this. She then hired cybersecurity experts, at least she says she did, to go back and find the hacking, in which they said, sorry to report to you, you weren't hacked, this is you. Then she came out and did another apology where she said, I Look, I actually don't believe I wrote those words, because those words are alien to me. I can't believe I would ever say anything like that. But I apologize to the LGBTQQIA2+ community for anything that they feel because of my words, or, you know, the typical nonsense. At the end of the day, she was just, you know, a homophobe, right? She was just making these jokes and criticizing gay people like crazy on her blog. It was like a central part of her content. And she never had to really answer for it, which is kind of fascinating, because that's one of the things that I always remember seeing every time a conservative has to do it. Like MSNBC would go host after host on Fox News and say, oh, well, this person said this and this person said this. They must respond. They must respond. And it would be on them and harassing them for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And yet their own host, they never really required to ever explain why, number one, she did all these things that would normally get her canceled, but number two, that she lied about it and said she was hacked. Never had to really pay any price for that. Well, finally, after 5 years, she has, had her show canceled, which is good. But also, in between all of that, she got promoted into like a nightly show. So she got the nightly show, and now she's being demoted to nothing, which is, of course, the place she should be. And to give you a little reminder, if you don't remember the Joy Reid's greatest hits, there's been so many of them, so many you might appreciate. She wasn't exactly hiding her partisanship over the years. Here is Joy Reid on this most previous election.
Basically, we on this side of the TV screen have said all we can. We've laid out the stakes in this crucial election, where one side stands for freedom while the other meets the textbook definition of fascism. Textbook. We've warned you about Donald Trump's profound unfitness for office, from his theft of classified documents and attempted insurrection to his clear cognitive and physical decline, to what he plans to do if he returns to power, threatening to lock up or even execute his political opponents.
Now, there has been, of course, a huge movement where he's been executing his political opponents since he's been in office. And so she was right about that. Most of the other stuff she said was nonsensical crap, especially the part where she was talking about Donald Trump's cognitive decline. Just put a little pin in that one. We might come back to it here. Here is Joy Reid talking to you about what, you know, because she said the textbook definition of fascism is Donald Trump. So what does fascism mean to her?
The elements of fascism are rooted in this nationalistic drive for more babies for the state, for a strongman-driven nation, and a deep sort of state-based religiosity.
I don't know, if your wife is like, gosh, I want to have another baby, and you're like, I don't really want that, just call her a fascist. Are you talking about a fascist need for babies for the state? Is that what you're talking about, honey? Maybe rethink that, Adolf! I'm just saying that's a possible approach that might help. She was very, very excited about the DNC, though. And she thought things were going really, really well. Do you remember that whole thing where they like buried Joe Biden at 2 a.m. the first night, and then they rolled out Kamala and her zero primary votes to try to take the nomination, one she would eventually get, but then, of course, lose in the election. But she was exuberant after the DNC.
I'm going to sum up what I have felt since we landed, Nicole, in this wonderful, beautiful city. Exuberance. Oh. Joy. I have not, and we were just talking about this a little while ago, I have not seen so many Democrats laugh, smile, sing. I mean, there is a song in the air. I don't know if you can hear me behind me, but there's like a little bit of music playing. People are literally dancing to the tunes in their own head. I think Democrats today, they feel a kind of joy and a kind of relief that I personally have not seen in, what, like 8 years?
This is the interesting thing about Joy Reid. She's just like a really dumb version of whatever Democrats are doing at any moment. Like when they were saying, this is the Joy campaign, remember that? She'd just come out and her explanation of that is people are dancing to songs in their own head. Like that's just a sign of insanity is what that is. That's somebody who should be put in a rubber room, you know, like in chains. Like that's someone who's going to hurt themselves. That's what you're describing there. But okay, and that's funny because she was very, very excited about Kamala being in. She was sure that was going to go well. It did not. I don't know if anyone remembers that. But then she also had an interesting view on what the Biden versus Trump election was all about. Watch.
On some level, elected Republicans know that what I'm saying is true.
Mm,
they
sure
know
they
that their vision of America isn't real.
that most people do not want to live the way they want us to.
Hmm.
You know, I know that. You know what their tell is? They keep silencing dissent. They keep making it harder and harder to vote. And they keep gerrymandering their way to power. The question for voters in 2024, it seems to me, is do you want maybe not super exciting competency or do you want chaos? Choose your adventure.
I mean, it's jaw dropping. First of all, her idea of competency was Joe Biden at that time, a man who couldn't even walk to the correct door when leaving the stage. A man who would literally get lost when surrounded by thousands of people who were watching him. That is who was the super unexciting, competent choice. Absolutely unbelievable. And I don't know if you've noticed at all, but the Democrats seem to do a heck of a lot of silencing dissent. In fact, they had entire organizations within the government that were harassing social media companies just to get that outcome. Fascinating that, I mean, again, the dumbest version of what Democrats are generally saying at any given moment. Another idea is, we mentioned that she thought babies were fascist. And I guess, Adolf was a baby at one point, so she has a little bit of an issue there. But here she is talking about why we have so many kids. Isn't it annoying?
The United States has a population of north of 327 million people. Why do we need more kids? I mean, your party, Senator Tuberville, is the one screaming that 10 million immigrants, which I don't even know that number even makes any sense because it doesn't, have streamed into the country since Joe Biden has been president. And you're claiming that that's too many people, that if more people come into the southern border, this is some sort of crisis because we've got too many people and we've got no more space and we can't afford more people. But now you're saying we need more kids? Can you explain who's the we and what's the purpose?
I mean, she's got to be the dumbest person I've ever seen in my entire life. This memory lane trip is really reminding me how stupid this woman is. People don't want more babies because we're running out of space in the United States. By the way, that is an environmental concern that has been trotted out there by the Nazis, of course, back in the day with their old living space concerns. But also throughout history by the left, who's been saying that we have too many people. It's not a concern. The concern with illegal immigration is not that we have too many people in the country. That is not the concern at all. Of course, concern about what resources they're using up when it comes to financial resources. Are they getting on these programs that are wind up draining money from the people who are funding the programs, actual taxpayers? That's a concern. The concern about how many people are coming in as far as, whether they're criminals or people who have a certain have a criminal background, that could be a concern. It's not, we have lots of space. Like, there's tons of space. I mean, drive through Texas. I mean, there's plenty of space to put people. We are not, that is not a conservative concern at all. And of course, you'd think she knows that, but as I just pointed out, she's dumb. She might not. She also wanted to save people by kind of going against their will. Watch.
Well, are we reaching a point now where what we're going to need to turn this around are mandates that then go to court and the people who are pushing against the mandates lose, and that's the only way that we're going to be able to sort of save people's lives against their will, I guess.
I think so.
I assume that's in the back, because that's August 2021, so you're in the middle of the vaccine era there. You got to mandate it. You just got to make people do things against their will. By the way, I should note, you might be asking yourself, why have you, when you're talking about Joy Reid, put 14 different people on the screen? No, that's all Joy Reid and all her natural hair. So, in case you're concerned about that. And finally, Joy Reid, who's to blame for violence? Obviously, it's Republicans.
But the elected officials who had a job today that's in the Constitution that they were supposed to do, to officially and ceremonially install the new president, to show that we believe in this peaceful transfer of power, were completely thrown over today. Josh Hawley should resign in ignominy. It is absolutely ignominious what he did, sparking
this.
Ted Cruz as well. But honestly, Mitch McConnell too, they've all played a role. Conservative media has played a role. They've all played this game because they thought that there was no downside. Why not? And you've reported on this, Nicole, where, you know, people around the president have said, what's the harm in letting him play it out? He said in December, see you on January 6th. It's going to be wild. That was December 19th. He tweeted that. We knew this was coming.
Point. That's an incredible point. By the way, that was also her real hair. So a lot of people are celebrating this today and mocking her, which is, of course, fun. We've done a little bit of that today. But I will say it's going to be sad to lose Joy Reid. She was a constant fountain of material for every conservative media personality. And it's going to be harder to prep shows without her idiocy mixed into the day's events. Maybe she'll keep going on social media and get even crazier. That does happen, which is fun, but she's so much less relevant when she's not actually, you know, she doesn't have the show. One thing I will say is people like Joy Reid are good for the conservative movement. We talked about this a little bit with John Oliver. We talked about it many times with AOC. Having people who illustrate the liberal mindset without the brain cells to hide it, those people are really valuable. Those people really wind up moving the country. The people who will sit there and, you know, it's like when Kamala Harris had that famous clip during the campaign where she came out and she's like, well, yes, of course, obviously, every inmate who wants to change genders, that surgery should be paid for by the American taxpayer. Like, that was a big moment in the campaign. And that only exists because she was being honest in that moment. She was trying to please people like Joy Reid, who were dumb enough to ask her about that and corner her into that issue, which at the time probably felt okay. But at the end of the day, winds up really hurting her in a presidential election. So I will say, It's fascinating to see her go, and it's going to be a sad one to see her go. And it's also just fascinating to see how the media plays this stuff out. I mean, considering her anti-gay controversy, never had to answer for that. Never really had to do anything. I mean, she kept, you know, with these little apologies on the air, but there was never any consequences. They didn't really do anything. MSNBC would do this constantly to right-wing conservative media people. And would force them to would harass them and bring on people to support boycotts and all these different things. Every time someone on the conservative side said something that was wrong, but they couldn't find that will with their own employee. Well, finally, she's not their employee anymore, I guess. And that's it's a positive, I guess, in a way for America. They don't have to hear this nonsense. There won't be people who, I mean, again, your IQ must be 4 if you watch this show. But if you happen to have an IQ of 4, she's going to bring it down to 3 or 2. And that's not necessarily good for the country. However, it is good for the conservative movement. So as an honest eulogy to our own Joy Reid as she goes off into the you know, that sort of period of her career where we'll never hear from her again. Sadly, we've lost her. And I will say, in remembrance of Joy, we remember all of the things that you did, all the dumb things that you said, all the joy that you brought to conservatives who wanted to get more votes and wanted to be able to point to someone who is representing the other side so stupidly that it wound up benefiting her political opponents, the president of the United States, and so many others. So thank you so much, Joy Reid, for all of your service. We'll talk about the border, which Joy Reid was constantly wrong on as well, with Jason Buttrell next. Well, it looks like Joy Reid might be in the market for a new home after her reported exit from MSNBC. Now, I know if she's looking for something bigger, she could find something, maybe something smaller, maybe a lot smaller, maybe like something that's on wheels. I don't know, whatever she's looking for now. Maybe she just wants a place with thicker walls to keep out reality. Either way, she is going to find out that buying or selling a home is no joke. And if you have a multi-million-dollar media contract to fall back on, you're going to need the best real estate agent that you can find, because that's where Real Estate Agents I Trust comes in. This is a free service, by the way, founded by Glenn Beck, connects with the top performing agents in your area, professionals who actually know what they're doing and won't leave you high and dry, kind of like an MSNBC contract. So whether you're, you know, moving by choice or because your employer just gave you the boot, the old Joy Reid treatment, get the best agent in the business. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com today. It's a free service to you. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Check it out now. realestateagentsitrust.com. Joy. I want to bring in Jason Buttrell. He is the head writer and researcher for one Glenn Beck of the Glenn Beck program. That one happens to be airing on Blaze TV. If you would ever want to check it out, that's where you could go, blazetv.com/do. Jason, welcome.
Hey, thanks.
I wanted to bring you on today because of something I saw from Greg Abbott. And Abbott tweeted this. Do we have the tweet? It says, Colony Ridge is being targeted today. Texas DPS troopers and special agents are assisting Homeland Security investigations with an operation in Colony Ridge this morning. This came out this morning. They are targeting criminals and illegal immigrants. I have worked with Tom Homan on this for months. And it was amazing to see that because, of course, you worked on a documentary right here on The Blaze, part of the Blaze original series, about Colony Ridge. What was your reaction when you saw that?
When he said that, you know, they're launching it today, it reminded me of this documentary. The two main hosts of this documentary, they went by call signs Maverick and Goose, and they stepped into a club where they said, this looks like a target-rich environment. And it was. Kelly McGinnis was sitting right there. Mm-hmm. But that is a target-rich environment for, I don't even know how you would attempt to start that. When we went to do our documentary in Colony Ridge, one of the things that we wanted to do was just get out on the ground and just talk to people. And the majority did not speak English, so my wife was the translator.
Oh.
And so we just went from place to place to place, saw people walking around, jumped out of the truck, went and talked to them. I would say we spoke, I couldn't count how many people we talked to, dozens of people. Only one was a citizen. Only one.
Dozens of people, only one was a citizen.
Only one. I was like, just by the law of averages, we should have hit more right. than one at this point.
I think if you went to Mexico, you'd probably have better.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're exactly
US citizens.
Right. I can't imagine, like, if you're taking in officers and just going house to house to house, you would run out of, like, any kind of detainment facilities or vehicles. I don't know how, it must be convoys. If you're going to do it right, it must be convoys that are going through there.
First of all, just to remind you, Goose dies. I don't know if you want to necessarily.
That's
as a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, jeez.
From the 1986 movie. Secondarily, can you kind of walk people through why you were there? Why did you choose to do a documentary on Colony Ridge? What is it? Give us the 50,000 foot view of this.
You know, if you live in Texas, you've heard of Colony Ridge.
Yeah.
It's close to Houston. It's a plot of land that was owned by some developers called Terrenos Houston. And we had heard that it was a safe haven for illegal immigration, crime, all kinds of things were rumored to be going on there. And the way they were doing this development was, the owners, the way they were doing it was, you didn't have to be a citizen to get a mortgage or whatever. All you had to do is you had to show like an EIN number that you can get through, you know, if you're started the immigration process, mm-hmm. or a passport. You could show that. And you could just, stamp, you're approved, go build your home or go bring in a trailer or whatever. Of course, there was also some pretty shady, you know, lending, facilitation that was going with
right.
that. The one person that I did talk to that was a citizen, she was mostly concerned about, you know, the lending and how all that worked and how nothing was as advertised. And it was just very, very predatory. As we kind of looked into it a little bit more, it was kind of billed as, you know, this, oh, well, you know, I'm all about, you know, this is from the landowners. You know, we love immigrants, you know, that we're a nation of immigrants. You've heard that story, blah, 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 for, yeah. you know, on the left.
Yeah.
But what it really looked like is they were just taking advantage of immigrants. This was a service that they were like, hey, you know, sure, this is the interest rate. You don't like it, don't get a house.
And if you're an illegal immigrant, what are you going to do, complain?
Like, yeah, you, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you didn't know that, you know, you had to provide your own drainage or, you know, whatever. I can't remember if that's what it was, or like electricity, whatever. You don't like these things, that wasn't in the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to report it to?
Yeah,
basically.
It's very strange. Let me show you a clip of the documentary. Again, this is available on Blaze TV. It was part of the Blaze Originals series. This one's called The Real Story of Colony Ridge, starring Goose, the person we're talking to now, and Maverick, Glenn Beck.
Wait a minute.
By the time Joe Biden's out of office, there'll be about 10 million new people in here. If you have 10 million people coming in, where are they living? Look at the size of this.
The fastest growing development in Texas is just a 30-minute drive from Houston.
Any idea of how many are illegal?
The majority.
The majority.
The majority.
I'm like Sears and Roebuck. I have a product. I created it. I sell it.
Does it bother you at all, just culturally, in America, to have 150,000 people that are speaking another language?
Own something of your own, own your own home. That's what we're trying to create for people here.
If it's the American dream, why don't you advertise in English?
They are going against humanity, against Americans, non-Americans, a lot of races, a lot of people.
Like, we were dumb for even falling into this. But I mean, what do we do? What do we do?
If you import the third world, you end up becoming more third world.
I've served in Afghanistan. Every war-torn or third world country always has that same distinct smell, and it's the smell of burning trash.
You can see all the undeveloped lots. This could become massive.
Gunfire shooting at me, or just pow, 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 coming in front of my house.
My wife's advice was, don't piss off any cartels.
I said, I'll try.
Is this the future for America? Because this is the path we're on as an entire country. This is a completely new population.
So, I mean, you see that 150,000 people, a target-rich environment, as you point out, Jason. When you look back at that, where does it bring you?
Oh, so many memories. For one, it briefly showed one of the main developers, it's two brothers. We were talking to him, and we had all these facts and figures for that interview that Glenn did with him. And Glenn's talking about the crime, some of the things that were like kind of reported in some media outlets. And he's just trying to refute them. Oh, that didn't happen. That wasn't on our property, blah, blah, blah. We don't have, you know, if you look at percentages, it's the same amount of crime as anywhere else. And we're like, did we get this wrong? You know, was the reporting wrong? Yeah. And we didn't go into it with any kind of preconceived notion of it. So we were like, well, I don't know. Let's just go talk to there was another interview that it kind of briefly showed there with, he was either the sheriff or the chief of police for the area. And one by one, he's like, oh yeah, that happened there. Oh yeah, crime's horrible. Oh yeah, it's all over the place. Mm. And we're like, oh my gosh. It was just such a crazy like back and forth how we were feeling. But going through those neighborhoods, it did not feel like America. It was the oddest feeling. It was like all of a sudden you drove into another country when you go in there. When you first drive in, they have like their newest, I guess more affluent people that bought plots of land in that area, and it's a smaller neighborhood within the greater area. But once you go past that, all zoning goes out the window. There's people that are like operating businesses within their homes. It's exactly what you'd see in Mexico, places like that, burning trash out of the place. It smells like a third world country as you're driving through. Dogs roaming free everywhere. And then it's just this general feeling of not feeling safe as you're kind of rolling around, you know, driving past houses or walking down streets. It is a very surreal experience. But I wouldn't even, just on the figures that I saw, that's obviously not scientific, but it's, you know, well over 99% were illegal that we spoke to, just that we spoke to. So out of, what was that, 150,000, 120,000?
Yeah, 150, yeah.
Imagine that. How do you even begin? I don't know. And I would be very surprised if more colony ridges were not sprouting up all over the place. Because I remember Glenn was looking out over the helicopter and we were just thinking about it. You have millions of people coming in under the Biden administration. Where are you putting them? Where are they going? Just by default, there has to be communities like this where you're just like, I don't know what we're going to do with them. Yeah. Let's just shove them into here. Very minimal laws, very minimal like regulations as far as, you know, zoning and all that stuff. This is going to start happening everywhere. You're importing the third world, literally, and it's spreading.
Do you have any sense yet with the Trump administration and the new approach if this is a lasting change? When he came in the first term, immigration went way down as well. And it was largely because he was saying, hey, don't come here. Like it changed the tone going out to people in Central America. And it did work for a time, and then it did creep back up to levels that were close to what Obama had and everything else. Obviously, I don't think there's any chance it goes back to the Biden levels. I think that was almost like a
a one-time thing. Like, I don't, it was almost intentionally terrible. I don't think it's going to go back to those levels, but I also don't know we're going to stick at, you know, 100 or 200 a day, which is really, really, really low. Any idea, like, because we haven't had any laws passed, where does this stand as far as a long-term solution?
No way is this a long-term. No way is this going to stick. I don't. I'm highly skeptical. Mm. As you said, they haven't really passed anything. And why haven't they passed anything? Because it's too, you know, politically wealthy for them to always game immigration back and forth. That's how it's always been. And every single time, the other one side says, I'm going to fix it. The other one says, no, I'm, you know, we're going to fix immigration, blah, blah, blah. They never do.
Yeah.
Why? Because coming in around, you know, 18 months before an election, it's very, very advantageous for them to game it. And another Blaze original that I did when we went down, we went on that convoy, I don't know if you remember, that Take Our Border Back convoy. Mm-hmm. We went down to the border, down, I can't remember the actual crossing, but it was the one where they were having just massive amounts for like a month.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they had
Eagle Pass.
And then they had the National Guard go down there. I remember made a big spectacle of it. And so we drove down to that. We wanted to see the National Guard, you know, like maybe talk to some people, whatever. And we had this one Border Patrol guy with us. He's now retired. He goes, this is all smoke and mirrors. I was like, what are you talking about? The National Guard's there. Like, you know, like we tried to get a press pass to get down to the border so that they could take us down there so that we could see it. And the press was like, I talked to this Fox guy. He's like, oh, you're not going to get it. You have to apply for this through the state and the National Guard just to get down to the border to film. I was like, well, crap, that sucks. The Border Patrol guy goes, don't worry about that. This is smoke and mirrors. He goes, watch. All you have to do is pay for green fees at the neighboring golf course. It's like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, watch this. We just drove over to, there's the park. Right next to it's a golf course. So all, like, you know, the military vehicles, the razor wire, everything, all you have to do is go right next to it into the golf course. Say, I want to play 9 holes, 18 holes, whatever. We got in a golf cart, grabbed some rental golf clubs, and drove all the way down past all that crap right to the border.
And, of course, it's not just journalists doing this. Like, the illegal immigrants would just cross at the golf course side.
Why not? You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, like, why not? But you said all these Republican governors were going down for photo ops within the secured area.
Yeah.
And that they were, like, taking their pictures with Abbott, saying, hey, finally, you know, it's us against the Biden administration. I was like, bullcrap. I'm standing right here. I'm, like, waving to him. Like, hey, guys. The Fox guy's like, how did you get? I'm like, dude, just play around a golf.
Yeah.
Go all the way down.
Yeah, if you think about it. And if you cross the border there, you could, you know, maybe get, you know, get the back nine in on the way in. Just, you gotta go across the river with your golf clubs. That's
I didn't
all.
Know the back nine meant that far back.
Yeah, that's very far, very far. Jason Buttrell, by the way, it's called The Real Story of Colony Ridge. Blaze Original. What's the other one called? The other Blaze Originals. Do you remember the title?
I wish you wouldn't ask.
There's
me
a
that.
Couple on there for Jason, featuring Jason on the border. So look for those. Real Story of Colony Ridge, available at blazeoriginals.com. Jason Buttrell, he's a head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck. By the way, you can subscribe to Blaze TV. You should subscribe to Blaze TV. One of the ways these things can even be built at all, these including the one that, you know, I did on the FAA. We have a bunch of great ones called Blaze Originals. You got to be a member to see them. Although I guess now they're on YouTube, but if you have a chance to actually support it, it's great because we could do more of them. It's blazetv.com/stew, blazetv.com/stew. Jason, thanks.
Thanks.
Well, if you remember, Kash Patel, of course, was nominated and then confirmed to be the head of the FBI. And you got to figure out who's going to be your deputy, who's going to be the second in charge at the FBI. We now have word from the president. Trump has named podcaster Dan Bongino to be the second in command at FBI. And you might say to yourself, Dan Bongino, he's a podcaster. At least this is what the media is saying. Now, it's funny how you get the different treatments. That's, like, I guess, the straight way of telling that. That's the media, no media spin version. And I'm going to tell you in a second why that is kind of media spin. But that's from Politico, by the way. You know, he's a podcaster. They put him in charge of that. This is how Huffington Post created it. We are so effed. Trump's bonkers FBI announcement has critics asking, WTF? I don't know. I just found that funny. Like, that's how pathetic our media is at this point. And by the way, critics always say everything. It is never a notable thing to be able to do when you're writing a story to say, someone on Twitter said this. Great. Someone on Twitter says everything. Every combination of words has been said on Twitter. That's what Twitter is. It is just a constant vomit of words. Everyone with every single opinion. There's nothing notable about critics are saying WTF. If McDonald's came out and said, like, we're reintroducing the McRib with 10% more barbecue sauce, WTF would definitely be a response. And it wouldn't be a big deal, and nobody would care, but still someone would freak out because that's the internet. Anyway, what I was getting at with the straight news coverage of Dan Bongino, he's a podcaster, right? Just like Pete Hegseth was a Fox News host. How are these people getting these jobs, right? They're just conservative media personalities. Now, it is fair to notice that Donald Trump does tend to lean toward media personalities when he's hiring people. There have been a lot of people in the conservative media space that have been appointed to important roles in the government. But that's just part of the situation that I think Donald Trump does. Now, one of the reasons he does wind up taking people in conservative media often is because they're good communicators. Right? Like these are people, I mean, again, present company included, these are people who can actually get through a few sentences and explain what they're talking about. And that's kind of important these days in a very media rich environment. Trump, I think, is aware of that and is concerned about it. So he does wind up going to places, you know, he had Larry Kudlow and the last, people who have done a lot of television wind up getting prominent placement in his administration. That's part of the qualification. The other part of the qualification is actually having experience that is associated with what he's talking about. And like Bongino being hit here as a podcaster, well, yeah, he's a podcaster now. Where did he come from? He came from a law enforcement background. In fact, the reason he's a podcaster, the reason he's a well-known podcaster today, is because his old job was he was in the Secret Service under Barack Obama. He was also in law enforcement before that. He built up credibility in that area. He came on shows like the Glenn Beck radio program. He came on our show often. And wound up doing a good job explaining what he thought were problems inside of those agencies. So when you do that and you come out and you say, hey, here's what I think is wrong, here's how I think this can get better, and you explain that over a long period of time, you prove yourself as a decent communicator, well, then you're hitting kind of both things that Donald Trump really likes in someone. So yeah, Dan Bongino's a podcaster now, but he's a podcaster because of his background in law enforcement, which allowed him to build the career as a podcaster. To just say he's a podcaster and he's just being hired because of his podcasting is not true at all. Looks like he's going to be doing, I don't know if he's going to continue doing the podcast or not, but he's going to be, looks like, second in command at the FBI. Okay, so here's what happened. Right down the road from the mothership of the radio show, the very start of it, WFLA in Tampa, is a little restaurant, and it's on the side, and it's been there forever. In fact, it was the very first Hooters restaurant. Yes, I've been there. That's right, the very first Hooters. Clearwater, Florida, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, unfortunately, Hooters could be now filing for bankruptcy, could be the next big chain to file for bankruptcy. We don't know for sure this is happening. I will say that my producers are like, oh, well, if we're going to talk about Hooters, we should get a picture of Hooters waitresses. Now, that's the type of research they do in the background before the show started. And then they were looking for a generic picture of Hooters waitresses, and this is the one they were able to find. Donald Trump with Hooters waitresses. And I was like, gosh, Don's getting a little aggressive with that hand placement. And then I realized that's not his hand, that's her hand. So good job, Don. Don kept his hands right out of the danger areas on that one.